Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, March 5th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe says the issue of succession is off the table as he is still in power.
I'm still there. Why do you want a successor? Why don't you grow it back in Ogugira first to feel I'm still there?
A ZANU-PF activist says targeted United States sanctions are hurting Zimbabwe.
It is not a secret that the United States is controlling all the financial institutions in the world, and they usually tell their executives in those respective financial institutions to vote against Zimbabwe.
And the MDCT accused that the sanctions are only causing sleepless nights for ruling party stalwarts.
They love to spend money, ill-gotten money, in Las Vegas, in the U.S. And on a personal level, I know they are very, very hurt.
And as usual, we will take a closer look at women's issues. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe used his annual exclusive interview with the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation on Thursday evening, which is often scheduled on the eve of his birthday, to address critical issues facing the nation, including succession and his wife, Grace. Reporter Ndimiake Makelele gives us more.
President Robert Mugabe's delayed annual interview with the country's state broadcaster, the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation, which usually broadcasts on the eve of his birthday, was, as expected, full of jokes, but also insightful on issues of national concern. Aside from addressing the closure of the diamond mines, President Mugabe, who spoke between long pauses during the two-hour interview, also addressed the pressing issue of succession and his wife Grace's involvement in politics. On succession, President Mugabe hit hard at those who press him to select a successor, asking the interviewer jokingly if he needed to punch someone for them to realize that he's still around and therefore a successor not necessary at this time.
Why successor? I'm still there. Why do you want a successor? Why don't you grow it back in Ogugira first to feel I'm still there?
The 92-year-old, who marked his birthday at a huge bash at the Great Zimbabwe in Mashingo last Saturday, said he did not accept his party's nomination to continue leading the party or represent the party at the country's 2018 elections, just to quit.
When we went to Congress in 2013, and the people said, you are the candidate, 2013, I did not say I was a candidate to retire. Only to retire midway. I didn't never say that. I was a candidate for the term. For the term. The term is a 5-year term, isn't it? Otherwise, why did I accept?
Dismissing allegations from many, including former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who in an interview with the Associated Press this week speculated that President Mugabe was likely trying to establish a dynasty by paving way for his wife Grace and family to stay in power, President Mugabe said that was ridiculous. As for whether or not he's been egging on his 50-year-old wife, Grace, to publicly attack those suspected of sabotaging the party, like Mrs. Mujuru, who was kicked out of the party for allegedly plotting to topple the president, Mugabe said he does not speak for his wife.
I said so to Grace. I said, fine, yes, I'll support you, but coming to politics, the decision is entirely your own. You're free, and so there she is, free. The ideas are entirely her own.
President Mugabe also commented on the formation of Zimbabwe People First, the newly launched party of his former deputy Joyce Mujuru, dismissing it by saying he's not afraid of her or her party and that they will, quote, live in the wilderness where little ants and other biting insects are destined to live. Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimiake Mwakalielie.
A ZANU-PF activist says targeted United States sanctions, which were renewed on Wednesday by President Barack Obama of USA, are hurting Zimbabwe. But the MDCT argues that the sanctions are only causing sleepless nights for President Robert Mugabe and his inner circle. The sanctions were imposed by the George Bush administration in 2003 following reports of serious human rights violations in Zimbabwe. For perspective, Studio 7 reached ZANU-PF activist Katsira Chirumanzu and MDCT spokesperson Opet Kutu. Chirumanzu tells Studio 7 the sanctions are causing havoc in the country.
It is not a secret that the United States is controlling all the financial institutions in the world, and they usually tell their executives in those respective financial institutions to vote against Zimbabwe. So at the end of the day, these sanctions are very effective. But now it only requires and demands Africans, black as we are in Zimbabwe, to pull together as a nation and definitely will beat these sanctions. The same applies like during the liberation struggle. No one, you know, besides us, who liberated ourselves. So this is the calling President Mugabe is doing or anyone who has got to this country at heart.
Mr. Kutu, are these sanctions doing whatever they're supposed to do?
Look, we're talking here of restrictive traveling measures. They apply to Mr. Mugabe, his wife, and a few other ZANU-PF, zealots. So, of course, on a personal level, I know they love going to Manhattan in New York to go shopping. They love to go to Disneyland. They love to spend money, ill-gotten money, in Las Vegas, in the U.S. And on a personal level, I know they are very, very hurt. But you are saying 90% of Zimbabweans are living in abject poverty and destitution thanks to Mugabe's ruinous economic policies. He has reduced a country that used to be the breadbasket of Southern Africa into a basket case where we have 3 million people facing starvation thanks again to Mugabe's ruinous so-called land reform. So we are simply saying the chickens have come home to roost. He says he's looking east. So why should he be bothered about traveling to New York, to Las Vegas, to Washington, D.C., to Chicago? He can go to Shanghai. He can go to Beijing. He can go to Hong Kong. After all, he has been talking about the lookist policy. Why should he be bothered?
There you are, Mr. Chirumanzi.
As you know, Mr. Kutu is the spokesperson for MDC. Of course, he's, you know, talking for his supper. So for one to come out blazing all guns to say that, no, look, these sanctions are targeted sanctions, I think this is, you know, hogwash.
Your conclusion now, Mr. Kutu, your last word.
My last word is that, look, for up until such a time that Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF regime reform, then they deserve what is coming to them. If they continue to behave like a bull in a china shop, like what they are doing, then they cannot expect to be treated with kid gloves. All we are saying is it's up to the United States to craft its own foreign policy. If they find it fit as the United States government to impose travel restrictions on Robert Mugabe, so be it. We are really not bothered. But we are saying let Robert Mugabe and the ZANU-PF regime fix the economy. Let them obey the constitution. Allow the people of Zimbabwe to exercise their constitutional rights, the right, freedom of expression, freedom of association. Right now, we are like in a prison. We cannot even have a demonstration in this country. Just a few weeks ago, war veterans were descended upon, you know, using brute force, tear gas, and all that baton stick. So we are living in a country that is a virtual police state. Robert Mugabe is simply getting what I believe is us. And since he has said he's looking east, why should he be bothered? He should forget about the United States and think about China, Hong Kong, Singapore.
You have the last word, Mr. Chirumanzu.
No one in Zimbabwe questioned the move by the United States of America on extending those sanctions. Who cares? We don't care. But we are going to solve our problems the way we think. It best suits Zimbabwe. And I can assure you, it is only in Africa where all the resources are now in charge of the indigenous people, and it is Zimbabwe. And I can assure you, definitely we'll come out from the woods. Watch out this space.
That was ZANU-PF activist Katsira Chirumanzu and MTCT spokesperson Opet Kutu speaking with Studio 7. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of Malawi may soon have a significant increase in the electrical power they need, thanks to a new agreement between the United States government and the government of Malawi. Malawian Minister of Natural Resources, Energy and Mining, Bright Msaka, U.S. Ambassador to Malawi, Virginia Palmer, and Power Africa coordinator Andrew Herskovitz signed a memorandum of understanding between the United States and Malawi regarding Malawi's continued participation in the U.S. presidential initiative known as Power Africa. Power Africa is a U.S. government-led initiative that helps bring critical power projects online and connects people to electricity by removing barriers, particularly the financial and regulatory roadblocks that have stood in the way of power delivery in sub-Saharan Africa. Power Africa represents the U.S. government's commitment to supporting Malawi to achieve its electrification goals and improve the quality of life for thousands of Malawians, said Ambassador Palmer at the signing ceremony. In Malawi, Power Africa support will complement an existing $350 million grant from the U.S. government through the Millennium Challenge Corporation aimed at expanding access to electricity in Malawi. The United States is proud to partner with Malawi to help meet the country's electricity needs for a better future for the people of Malawi and Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we are gladly joined by Jana Ngube, who has started an initiative to help youth across Africa under an organization she is calling Inspiring Africa. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Ngube.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Marvelous.
Tell us about your initiative.
Inspiring Africa is an initiative I have recently embarked on that seeks to reach out to the young people of this continent with really the view to encourage them and motivate them to really take responsibility to get themselves out of situations of poverty and to contribute to the development of their countries.
What motivated you to start this initiative?
Part of why I really felt motivated to go this way is because I find that many of them are actually waiting for government to create opportunities for them. And while that is very good, because it is the responsibility of a government to ensure that the environment enables and allows for people, its citizens, and particularly its youth, to get jobs. But, you know, the context across the continent of Africa is such that you have unemployment rates that are extremely high. And then to wait for opportunities to come from government, for me, doesn't really make sense. I feel Africa is a continent that has been well endowed with a lot of resources that God has actually granted to us. And so I actually really think what we can do as young people is to be entrepreneurial, is to take opportunity and advantage of the resources that God has given us, be it from land, be it from the things that come out of the land, trees, plants, whatever, and come up with innovative ways of generating something that we can take into the marketplace and be able to trade with it and create incomes for ourselves and as well as create employment for others. The other thing that really motivated me to start this work on Inspiring Africa is the fact that when you look across the continent, in terms of our history as Africa, we had to fight colonialism and apartheid to become a country that enjoy self-rule, as in black people or indigenous people ruling themselves. You look at the history of Zimbabwe, the people who went to fight for our freedom were teenagers. They were 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. They're the people who went to the war, fought for us. But the young people of today somehow think their future lies in America. Their future lies in the United Kingdom.
What methodology are you using to inspire these youth? How are you reaching out to the youth?
There are two ways I actually have been doing that. Of late, I'm going about my other business through my work. I take opportunity of being in a country. I have been targeting particularly universities and colleges, and I'm reaching out to those institutions and requesting for an opportunity to have a dialogue with their students and young people.
Which countries have you been able to take this initiative to, and what has been the response so far?
I am blessed to say I've had opportunity to do so in Tunisia. I've had opportunity to do so in Rwanda. I've had opportunity to do so in Liberia just in 2016 alone. And I've got a couple of other engagements that are similar about to take place in Kenya. I go and spend time with these young people, and really we have dialogues about the challenges that are facing Africa and the challenges that they are facing, which are really real, but really begin to say, let's change our mindsets about how we see the resolution of these particular challenges, and beginning to also challenge them to say, look around you. What is it that is in your context that you could invest yourself in?
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Jana for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope we are going to have a very wonderful weekend. That's the music of Simon Chopa Chimbetu coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe says the issue of succession is off the table as he is still in power. And a ZANU-PF activist says targeted United States sanctions are hurting Zimbabwe. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.